Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody here. It's the last time we have to do an early service. So this is kind of one of those surreal moments, but it's also an exciting moment knowing what's coming ahead. So next week, just so everybody knows and you're not caught off guard, for Easter Sunday, we will go back to one service. We will have Bible classes starting at 9 a.m. and then worship service starting at 10 a.m. So we'd love for you guys to be here. Also, next week, we will also have the sunrise service in the park. That starts at 6:45, so bright and early, but here's the best part of it, too. You get to wake up, you get to rejoice that our Lord is risen, and then there's free food afterwards. So that's always kind of a good incentive to be there, but we would love for you guys to join us at the park if you can, but definitely next week here at 9 and 10 o'clock as we get going with our one service again. I want to throw out one other announcement regarding today. There will not be a family Bible class tonight across the street. Instead, we encourage everybody to be here and to be in the auditorium tonight at 5 for our service time here. So no family Bible class tonight, but please meet over here at 5 instead. All right. You may have noticed something that looks almost foreign. It's called a paper bulletin. They were out there in the foyer. Hopefully you grabbed one of those as you were coming in. There is a lot of information that we're trying to condense down into this compared to what we've been able to send out online recently. On the front, David has some things set up for the lesson today that can kind of help you go through it. But then one of the really important parts is that on the inside, you'll see these funny little squares here, these QR codes. You can use your cell phone to scan those codes, and it will take you to different parts on the Graham Street website to help you with even more information. Most of the stuff in here is very simple, very basic, just straightforward, but a lot of extra details are available online. So this one that's here up at the top, that's just to go for more information from the bulletin. If you happen to be visiting with us or you're just new to Graham Street itself, if you scan that other QR code, that actually takes you to what would normally have been our visitor's cards that we would have in the pews. But this is actually even easier for us now to do it this way. So just a few of the things we have that are going on, but definitely check out those bulletins, see what's going on in there. Scan that QR code, or you can go online to grahamstreetchurch.com and find the latest info and more details about the things that we have happening. We're going to continue our series on prayer this morning, and so as we get started today, would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for allowing us this chance to be together, for reminding us in your creation that you are God. We're so grateful that we have the opportunity to be joined together to worship you today. And Father, we know it's been a long road over this last year, but we're excited to know that we have the opportunity to be joined even more together as one. And Father, we thank you for watching over us, for leading us, for protecting us. Help us in all the things that we get to do here today during this time be things that come from pure hearts and that fall onto your ears, because we know that you are listening as we pray and as we praise you, as we sing to you. Father, we know that you're a God who hears us. We thank you for being a God who has chosen us, for being a God who loves us when we don't deserve it. Bless us this morning as we bless you. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
True, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, teach your children to stop the fighting, start uniting all as one. Let's get together, loving forever, sanctuary for you. You were the one, Lord, who sent the Savior. Heart and soul, Lord, for Jesus, you refine us with your hand. So, Lord, prepare me, be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Continue singing. As Wes pointed out, it's been an interesting year, so it's good to see more numbers back this morning. And I know David will be disappointed not preaching two sermons starting next week, but I think we'll make it. Everybody sing right out.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is with
Seated, please.
Good morning, church. Good morning. All right, if you'll notice in the bulletin, it has on the front basically how the sermon will go this morning, and that's if I don't get confused and go somewhere else. But during the sermon this morning, there are two songs, and following those songs, there'll be a prayer. Wes is going to lead the first prayer, and after the second song, Taylor's going to lead that prayer. And that prayer basically is an invitation prayer, and it's an opportunity for you to search your heart and see if you need an opportunity to have someone pray for you this morning. Our song right after Taylor's prayer will lead us into our communion. And during that time, we want you to continue to search your heart and see if you need help in any way that you need to talk over with the church family. And then when the shepherd gets up to lead the shepherd's prayer at the end, if you have a need, please feel comfortable in asking us to pray for you this morning. We would love to do that. So, I think about this today, and this is probably not a good comparison, but I was mentioning this to Vicki on the way over here, and it took her a moment to think about what I was thinking about, but she hasn't been through football practice, so she didn't recognize what I was saying. But this is the last day of two-a-days, and if you play football, you know what that is. You know what two-a-days are, you know, in that hot August heat. Two practices a day, and that's not talking about specialty drills and all that stuff that goes in between. And when you get to that last day of two-a-days, I mean, you're looking forward with two-a-days being over and getting to one practice a day, all right? Now, the downside of that comparison is that two-a-days, the last day of two-a-days was always the hardest day. That was the toughest day. Now, I hope that's not the case today. I hope you're excited about being here and that this is a wonderful service for you. But I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited about us getting together for one service next week. It's going to be exciting for Easter. Let me say this about the sunrise service. Bring your lawn chair or something to sit upon, because there are no chairs there at the amphitheater. And also, if the weather is cool, you may want to bring you a blanket or jacket or something, because you know, it will be at sunrise. So that's a cool part of the day. So do that in preparation. Let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we ask this morning that you bless us as we talk about prayer. We have tried to be your servants. We've tried to give ourselves in allegiance to you and the cross. We ask this morning that as we we close out this series on prayer, that you'll help us to continue to be prayerful. Prayerful in our hearts, prayerful in our heads, and prayerful with our mouths. We ask, Father, that our voices will speak to your glory and to the importance of the kingdom. May our hearts speak with compassion for those who are less fortunate than we are. May our hearts speak with forgiveness toward those who have transgressed against us. And we ask, Father, that our heads will speak with the knowledge of knowing that we are redeemed, we are saved, that we have been made a holy people by the blood of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. All right, this morning, what I want to do is do a little exercise in prayer. I want us to actually participate in prayer this morning as we close out this series. And don't forget, we have one more week of fasting and prayer before our service on Easter. So please continue to be prayerful about what we're going to do next Sunday. So I want you to say this with me, and this is not your traditional reading, although it's fairly close. So watch for the words. It's a little bit different than normal. Let's say the Lord's Prayer again, and then we're going to use it in our exercises of prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, very little change was made in that prayer. That's still very much the traditional prayer. Taking out some thys and thous and so forth. But it's basically the same. But this morning, I want you to work on making this prayer your prayer. Praying it in your own words, using it as a model as much as you can to help you in doing this. The first part of this prayer that you need to look at is addressing God. How do you address God? Use a descriptive title that fits where you are in your prayer journey at that particular time. Not to embarrass Vicki this morning, but Vicki is a great illustration of this. When we pray together, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes Vicki will pray addressing God as Daddy. And I think for her, where she's been in her life and her experience with her father, that means a great deal to her to be able to say that and to know that God understands that. There may be other expressions that you want to use. This hallowed be your name is a way of showing respect and reverence for God. It's a way of praising God. And at the beginning of your prayer, in your own words, have a way that you want to say how much you respect and reverence God and praise him. Secondly, in the part about the kingdom come and God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, that is a statement of spiritual surrender, that you're trying to live your life in such a way that it's with a kingdom priority, that you're going to put yourself in God's will and live out God's will in your life. So in your own words, in your own way, say in your prayer this idea of surrendering to God's will, of living your life in kingdom priority. Thirdly, we want to look at the idea of a physical request. It's not wrong to ask for personal physical request. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. That is a physical thing he's praying for. But it's representative of the idea that we are in need of God. Our very existence, our very life depends on God. And so in a very personal way, speak of your physical need or for the need of your family, something that you're dealing with, and put it before God as something that you want him to address and take care of. And the idea, more than what you're specifically asking for being granted, is the idea that you are letting God know that you understand that even in your physical life, you're dependent upon God. And then there's a relational request in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive others. And I think it's important that we speak in specifics when we come to this part of our prayer. Think about places in your life where you need to work on relationships, where things are not as they should be. Maybe it's right in your own family. Maybe something's been going on in your family that you need to speak at this time in your prayer about God's helping you with some type of relational situation that you want Him to intervene in and let Him help you have the right attitude toward dealing with those relationships. And then there's a spiritual request. In this prayer, when we pray, lead us not into temptation. This is acknowledging to God that we understand that we are sinners, that we are susceptible to temptation, and that Satan is alive and well and tempting us. He's always trying to do something to make us slip and fall. And let's acknowledge to God that we understand that. It takes humility to be able to say with a sincere heart, Lord, lead us not in temptation. Help me not to give in. The temptation is there. Help me to avoid it. Help me to resist it. Help me to be strong when it comes. And then there's that wonderful closing to the Lord's Prayer that we just, it just speaks with power and with the might of God and the wisdom of God. Everything about this world is completely in the control of God. And in any moment, He could change everything if He chose to. And at any time, He may announce it's time to send His Son back. So at the close of our prayer, I think it's important that we acknowledge that we understand that it's all yours, God. Your will be done. And praise you for who you are, praise you for sending Jesus, praise you for what you've done in taking away our sins and preparing for us an eternal place for us to go. And so we address God in the closing, and we often do this without thinking about what we're saying. When we say in Jesus' name, we're calling upon the highest name, the name above all names, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus said, if you pray in my name, your prayers will be answered. And so don't just flippantly throw out in Jesus' name, amen. Think about what you're doing, what you're saying. And you may want to think about saying it differently just so you think about what you're saying. So this morning, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it in our own words. And we want to give you a moment after we listen to this song. After we listen to this song, we're going to take just a few moments for you to think about your prayer in your own words that you pray silently. And then Wes is going to lead us in a version of this Lord's Prayer that's personal to him. And after that, I'll come back and finish the sermon.
Still run out of time.
If you listen to my
listen. Our Father, Holy God, Creator of all things, I know you hear me. I surrender all that I have and all that I am to you and to you alone. Give me the strength and courage to be your servant. I have been blessed. I am still so blessed. Help me to not take these blessings for granted. Father, humble me. Help me to be the man, the husband, the father, the friend that I need to be. Help me to treat others as I should. Father, break my heart and let me forgive as you forgave me. You are mighty. You are powerful. You are God. And I love you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Excellent, Wes. Thank you. So however you need to pray, however you need to do it, this is a model. It's not meant to be, okay, this is something you do and just quote the Lord's Prayer. Make it yours, claim it, and pray it. If you will, if you want to look in your Bibles with me, I'm going to finish the sermon with the parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18. And I think there's a lot more to this parable, this section of Scripture, than what we maybe have realized. So I want us to look at it carefully this morning, just for a moment. I want you to realize that there are two things that Jesus is really emphasizing about our prayer life. Two very important things. One is persistence in prayer. And the second thing is humility. So to begin with, we have this parable of this widow. Beginning of verse 1, and he told them a parable to effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The parable is pretty simple. Basically, the widow just keeps nagging the judge until he gives in. The judge admits he's not doing this out of the kindness of his heart or because of his fear of God. He's doing it because he doesn't want to get nagged anymore. Jesus said, if a judge will give in to a nagging widow, don't you think your Father in heaven who loves you will give you what you ask for if you continue to ask for it? The point is, we need to be consistent and persistent in our prayers. We need to keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. And as we ask about the things that we just talked about from the Lord's Prayer, God is going to answer. But what we communicate if we're not willing to be persistent in our prayer is that it really doesn't mean that much to us. We're going through the motions. We're acting like we're concerned about these things, but we're really not. We're just saying the words. Our persistence says to God, we really, really do feel the things that we're praying. And then beginning in verse 9, I want you to notice the emphasis on humility. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. The meaning is simple. We need to be humble. We need to be willing to confess we are sinners. We are hopelessly and helplessly lost without God's grace. That it's only because of what Jesus has done for us at the cross and through the power of the resurrection that we have any kind of hope in this world. And we are powerless to protect ourselves against sin. It's only by God's power through His Holy Spirit that we can stand. So we have no reason to boast. We have no reason to be proud and arrogant. We need to be humble. And there should be no more humble time in our life than when we drop to our knees before our Heavenly Father and pray, confessing our sins, asking for His forgiveness. Now, a lot of people stop right here with the emphasis on prayer. They look at it as, okay, we're changing topics now, we're going into something else. I believe we quit too soon on the prayer topic if we leave out the next paragraph. So read on with me. Now, they were bringing to them even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever whoever does not receive one of these into the kingdom of God cannot enter it unless they become as a child. I can't find my place, but that's basically what it says, okay? What about the humility of a child? What about the persistence of a child? I think what Jesus is doing here is he's telling us, here's an illustration of what I'm talking about. This is the persistence of the widow. This is the humility of the tax collector. A child will ask you over and over and over for the same thing. I mean, it just continues. And it takes great patience sometimes in dealing with a child that's asking for something that they really, really want. You know what this like is. If you've been a parent, if you're still a parent, you know what this means. With a small child, there is persistence. And you don't have to teach them to be persistent. You have to teach them not to be persistent, okay? And the humility of a child. That child understands that the only way they're going to get what they ask for is if you give it to them. There's no pretense that they can somehow do it for themselves. There's no idea in their mind that they have the power to change whatever it is that they want to change. They're completely humble in submitting themselves to your mercy and your grace. What Jesus is doing with adding this part at this particular point in the scripture is he's telling us, let me give you an illustration. These parents, realizing they need God's help, they need God's blessing, they bring their children to Jesus to bless them. The apostles think that's a ridiculous use of the Messiah's time. They don't want him doing it. And Jesus said, don't keep them from coming to me. In fact, this is reflective of the kingdom of God. The children and their parents in their persistence and the humility of coming, knowing that you need the Lord's blessing. That's what I'm talking about with your prayer. Again, what I want to do this morning is I want you to listen to, and if you know the song, sing with it, please. And as we hear the words of this song, as we sing the words of this song, let's commit it to our hearts that we are going to be humble and persistent enough to come before God and confess our sins, to admit that we're weak and ask for His help. And again, this morning, if you personally need to be prayed for, I would ask you to please let us pray for you before you go home today. Whether it's in meeting with someone, meeting with one of our elders outside of this auditorium, if it's getting with someone else that you trust, or if you need this morning just to let us know that we need to pray for you as we say the Shepherd's Prayer, that we pray for you specifically for what you're going through in your life. But be humble enough to admit it, confess it, pray about it. So we're going to listen to the song or sing with the song, and then Taylor Holt is going to come forward and lead us in the closing prayer of the sermon, which will encourage us to be humble. And then after that, we'll begin our preparation for the Lord's Supper.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, Christ in me, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
You're my
one. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Please pray with me. Our God and our Father, we thank you for being who you are. We thank you for never failing us, for always loving us, for always being perfect in your timing, God. And God, specifically this morning, we thank you for always being by our side. God, we just pray this morning that we can believe that we can know that you're always with us. And just as we believe that, we also pray that we can rely on you in every moment, whether it's in the morning or the evening, whether it's in our coming and going, that we can always be praying to you, be relying on you, because God, we recognize that we're powerless, we recognize that we can't do it on our own, and that only you have the power to do what we need, to take care of us, to lead us. And God, I just pray that we can leave here this morning recognizing that, and that prayer can consistently be on our lips and in our hearts. God, we also ask that you forgive us for the times that we collectively as a church body have not been the church that you've called us to be. The times where we haven't loved one another the way we should. The times where we haven't been the representative of your Son that we should. God, I pray that you'll help us to be the church that we need to be, to have the love and have the presence here on earth that you called us to. And God, individually, I pray that we can be the people that we need to be, that we can love one another, that we can reach out to our neighbor, that we can be your ambassadors and your representatives here in Stephenville, in the community, throughout the world. And God, I pray that this room this morning can be a place of grace, a place of love, a place of acceptance, so that if there's anybody, God, this morning that needs to come forward, needs prayer, needs forgiveness, needs anything, God, that we'll wrap our arms around them and love them and walk through whatever it is with them, just as you do for us, God. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for being the one that we always turn to whenever we don't have anyone else to turn to. And God, I pray that this place can be a place that people feel like they can come to whenever they need help, and that we'll direct them to you, and that we'll love them and take care of them and give grace to them like you do to us. We thank you for being that person. We thank you for being that God, that Father, and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This will be our song before communion this morning. "'Tis midnight and on Olive's brow the star is dim that lately shone. 'Tis midnight in the garden now the suffering Savior prays alone. 'Tis midnight and from all remove the Savior wrestles long with fears in that disciple master's grief and tears. 'Tis midnight and for others guilt
Let's pray. Father God, we come before you now, thanking you for your Son, for his sacrifice for our sins. Specifically, Father, at this time, remembering his body that was beaten, the flesh that was stripped from his body, the humiliation and the crown of thorns that was mashed into his skull. We thank you, Father, for that sacrifice. And Father, we hope that we can live our lives better, understanding that sacrifice and being more worthy of it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Father, as we take this cup, we think back to the blood that was shed, the blood that washes our sins away, that makes us clean again. And we thank you, Father, for the sacrifice. Father, as a father myself, I can't even imagine giving my child's life for someone else. Father, we thank you for that love. We thank you so much for that love. I pray, Father, that we would examine ourselves and examine our lives and make the changes that we need to make. Thank you, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you would please be standing for our final song, and then we'll have a shepherd's prayer to dismiss us. Everybody, please continue to sing right out. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. Savior, pardon me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Thank you for being here with us this morning. We do have a good crowd, and we anticipate filling it up next week when we all get together for one service. David reminds us in Psalm 145 that the Lord is merciful and compassionate. He is patient and demonstrates great loyal love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. And because of this, in the first couple of verses of the psalm, he says, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will praise your name continually. Every day I will praise you. I will praise your name continually. We pray that you have been blessed by being here this morning, that our God has been honored and uplifted. And may we remember the words of David and do as he did so long ago. For the Shepherd's Prayer this morning, we're going to repeat again the Lord's Prayer as David had us do at the beginning. So if you would repeat with me, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, and have a great day.